Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and we're blessed to have with us today Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We're so blessed. A blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year to everyone as we grow deeper and dive deeper into this beautiful gift, the gift of all gifts, the gift of living the divine will. So I do see the sisters. So we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do. And we're going to begin with a supplication, which I think is very apropos for today, being the feast of Our Lady, Mother of God. This comes from day 31 in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me get everybody ready here. I'm going to unmute the mother house. I'm going to highlight them, and I'm going to find San Marino. I saw San Marino. And I lost San Marino. Didn't lose them for good, though. I'm going to find them right now. While we're waiting, hello, Mother. Hello, sisters in the Mother House.
Hello, Peter and everybody out there. How are you?
Blessed New Year to all of you, Mother and sisters.
Happy New Year
to you, too.
Another year of journeying and diving and expanding, and I can't wait. I guess, listening to Father Celso's talk yesterday, you know, two words really resonated. It's about, you know, he spoke about, or Jesus spoke about, you know, abandonment and how we need to abandon our old selves. How can we get our new selves back, or our old selves, actually, if you didn't want to think about it, rhetorically speaking, because again, we're not new. We were new, but we're now old. But how do we do that? Well, we do that with confidence. We do that with faith. We do that with trust. And we do that with humility, but we have to be grateful. I think, you know, God keeps reminding us that he's looking. He's looking for that thank you. He looked for it from the lepers. The one came back. Where are the other nine? He looks for that thank you. Not that he's not looking to fluff his ego, but the more, it's actually for our betterment, I think, Mother, because the more we recognize that everything that's good in this world, everything that happens to us that's positive, nothing of it is of our doing. Everything is from God. And I think the more we recognize that, and I think this is God speaking, I think, the more we appreciate that, recognize that, and vocalize that, the more it's going to register in our mind that we are nothing and God is everything. But through God, we become his everything. So it's really, it's rhetorical, it's static, and it's ever-changing all at once. Just like you, Mother and the sisters.
Well, you know, this is a great, it's a new year now, and we try this year very hard to continue to grow and live in his divine will, and I know that Our Lady will help us to do that. This is her feast day, the Mother of God, and she's our mother, you know, so we have to just really look at her and ask her for her intercession and realize she's there for us. She wants us to come to her. She's a loving, kind mother. I was just reading here in volume 36. It was December 28th, 1938. And our Lord was saying, now, my daughter, listen to me and pay attention. I want to tell you a great surprise of our love, and nothing must escape you. I want you to know the extent of the maternity of my celestial mother, what she did, how much it cost her, and what she is still doing. You must know that the great queen was not my mother only in conceiving me, delivering me to the light, feeding me with her milk, and offering me all the possible cares that I needed during my infancy. This was not enough, either to her maternal love or to my love as her son. Her maternal love was always running through my mind. And if sorrowful thoughts were troubling me, she laid her maternity in each one of them, hiding them inside her love and kissing them. I could always feel my mind as if it was hidden under her maternal wings that never left me alone. Each one of my thoughts was kept by my loving mother, who gave me all her maternal attentions. Her maternity was placed in each one of my breaths and heartbeats. And if my breath and heartbeats felt smothered by her love, by my love and suffering, she would run with her maternity to free me from my suffocating love and put balm on my pierced heart. If she looked, spoke, worked, and walked, she ran as a mother to receive in her maternal love my glances, words, works, and steps, investing them with her love and hiding them in her heart. She would also make her maternal love flow in the food she prepared for me so that while eating it, I could feel her loving maternity. How much more could I tell you of the expression of her maternity in my sufferings? There was not a pain, not a drop of the blood I shed that was not felt by my mother. But after doing these things as my mother, she would then take all my pains and my blood and hide them inside her maternal heart to love them and continue her maternity. Now she suffered, we're told that she suffered what Jesus suffered. She is the mediatrix of all graces and the co-redemptrix. And so our Lord suffered tremendously from loving us so much. That was the greatest suffering that he had experienced, is the great love that he had for each one of us, knowing that many souls would be lost. And Our Lady suffers from that. I mean, she's statues of Our Lady, pictures of Our Lady crying tears of blood. She suffers the great pain for her children. She's longing for us to come to her. And she's so excited and so happy, Jesus too. Just one little act of us coming to her, realizing everything she did, all the acts and rounds she did during her life, they're all ours, just for the desiring to have them. She will give them, God will give them to us. Who could say how much she loved me and how much I loved her? My love was such that in everything, I could not be without feeling her maternity within me. I can say that she would run, never to leave me alone, not even in my breathing. And I called her. Her maternity was for me a need, a relief, a support for my life down here. Now, my daughter, listen to another love surprise of your Jesus and of our Heavenly Mother. In all we did, love was never obstructed between us. The love of one ran into the love of the other to form one single life. But in wanting to do the same with creatures, how many obstructions, rejections, ingratitudes do we find? You must know that as my inseparable mother laid her maternity inside and outside of my humanity, so she was made and confirmed as mother of every thought, every breath, every heartbeat and word of creatures. So she's become mother of all of that with us, all of our words, all of our heartbeats, all of our breaths. She's the mother of that. Her maternity runs everywhere. If creatures are in danger of falling into sin, she covers them with her maternity to prevent them from falling. And if they do, she leaves her maternity as help and defense to make them stand up again. Her maternity runs and lays also on the souls who want to be good and holy, as if she found her Jesus in them. She becomes mother of their intelligence and guide of their words, covering and hiding them in her maternal love in order to grow as many other Jesuses. Her maternity shows on the beds of the dying, using the rights of authority as mother given to her by me in such a tender tone that I cannot refuse her anything. She says, "My son, I am the mother and they are my children. I must save them. If you don't grant me this, my maternity would be compromised." And as she says this, she covers them with her love, hiding them with her maternity to rescue them. What a loving, kind mother we have. You know, she says, if we understood her love for us, I think there's a little card that floats around from Medjugorje. If Our Lady said to the visionaries, "If you knew how much I love you, you would cry with joy." If we knew how much Jesus loves us, we would die of joy, you know. So how much we should come to her and everything, you know, think of her often during the day and ask her help when you're struggling, whatever your struggles may be. There's a lot of sick people out there, you know, in your sickness, when you feel really, really bad and you're suffering, you can kind of identify with Jesus's suffering, which ours is just so much smaller than his. Ours is so much smaller than Our Lady's, so much smaller than Luisa's. And then when you hear about their suffering, and I was just reading the other day about Luisa's suffering, and she felt so depressed and abandoned and so distraught. And he said, you're only experiencing a little bit of what I experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. So how much, and she was about to die with the suffering that she was going through, how much more Jesus suffered. And, you know, we have all these little crosses and we lament and lament and lament. And yet Jesus loves us so much. He suffered so much more than we could ever suffer because of his love. He's got such a loving God. We can't love the way he loves. So we can't suffer as much as he suffered. Only a God could suffer that much, who loves so immensely each one of us and Our Lady too.
You know, yeah. Mother, that passage is so powerful because it hits on so many points. And my goodness, we can spend a whole cenacle on that. But, you know, a couple of things that's in there also, when Jesus talks about, and Our Lady talks about running, and I ran, God uses this word. You know, he says, our Blessed Mother, she ran and ran and ran and run and run. You know, what's the difference between running and walking? Well, I think if you look at it from a from the perspective of, I think it gives forth an idea of our desire. When we walk towards something, it's one thing. If we run towards something, we desire it more. So Jesus is always saying, she ran and she ran and ran. Our Lady always ran. And he's asking us to run too, run after this gift. Number one. Number two, you mentioned about her being the co-redemptrix. I think nobody denies that. But again, I think the church had a problem with that back in, you know, my Father Nuzzi recognized. And he told us that back in the 2012 Mariological conference, that they didn't disagree with that term. They just couldn't come up with a way to explain it. You know, similar to the Book of Heaven, the critical edition, we're still waiting for that. There's some, as the Archbishop DeCenzo says, there are some, quote, ambiguities, not errors, but some issues that, again, cannot be explained. They're looking for a way to explain it. Now, our Blessed Lord explained this to us also. He preempted this and said, okay, the church is going to have difficulty with this because they're going to try to look at it through human terms only. So they need God's grace to be able to, I think, to enable to explain it. How do you explain a divine reality in human terms? You can't. You almost have to be on the same level. So a lot of great things in that passage. I love it, Mother.
If I remember correctly, in the volumes, he calls her co-redemptrix.
Several times. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we can take it also as the Book of Heaven being explicating what's already been given to us. And again, we're covered under the Article 66 of that. So yes, our Lord is telling us what she is, who she is, and he's actually explaining how to explain it. So again, all in time, it's going to happen. Right, Sister Jacinta?
I think Sister Gemma is one.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Hi, Sister Gemma.
Hi, hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I just want to add something that it came up when Mother was saying that we should go to the Virgin Mary every time we need something. And I remember yesterday or 2 days ago reading that phrase that basically was saying the Virgin Mary was saying to go to her for the little things and even for the big things, for everything, to go to her. And then I was meditating on that sentence, and it's she's like a mother. Like we call our mother for the tiniest things, even like to close a button, and when we are in danger or when something is happening very big, we call our mother to help us, and she's always there. She always runs to help us, and the Virgin Mary is the same or even more. So as Mother was saying, we need to call the Virgin Mary in everything and give everything to her, because she can do everything. Like today, like talking to my family and reading some emails from friends, like it seems like, wow, how can I help these people? Like there are so much there is so much need of prayer. But then I was thinking, I cannot do this. Mama Mary, you do it. Like, it's, and she does it. She will do it. If we really trust in that she can do it, she will do everything. We just have to remember to call her because she's our mother.
Yeah, I actually read before the program today, I forget what volume it's in, but it's about Our Lady actually covering us all, almost in a way of hiding, although we can't hide anything from Jesus, but metaphorically speaking, hiding our imperfections from our blessed Lord, as a mother does, protecting her children. I think that was the key of the passage. If I find it, I'll type it in the chat function, but I don't recall where I got it from. Back to you, Mother and Sisters.
Yeah, speaking of calling our mother for help, that's what we do when we pray the rosary. You know, we hold hands. I imagine my holding hands with Mama Mary when I hold the beads. And I think I remember some passages in the volumes that Blessed Mother said that she loves it when we call her, you know, Hail Mary. I mean, when she hears her name, she runs towards us. And then her favorite word was like Dominus Tecum. So I think one way to really call out our mother and is to pray the rosary every day. Again, like I said, you know, it's a very powerful prayer, because our Blessed Mother does not deny. Whenever we call her, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I mean, that's very powerful.
And, you know, Sister Magdalena, you know, being of Filipino descent, you must know also the story about in the Philippines that, you know, when the big battle was going to happen in the church and the cardinal was they were praying the rosary and you know, the enemy was dropping bombs. The bombs weren't exploding. And then the infantrymen, they put their arms down because they saw this lady.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the regime of Marcos?
Yeah,
it
yes,
was a bloodless, yes. Bloodless war. It was yes. A Blessed Mother who prevented
yes.
It. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Wow. Incredible. Now, Sister Jacinta. Hello.
Yes.
Sister.
Hello.
Thank you, Sister Gemma. Thank you, Sister Magdalena.
Yeah, so we can learn a lot about how to live in the kingdom of the divine will from Our Lady, especially from reading the Virgin Mary in the kingdom of the divine will. So the part of the passage I like to read today, it's from day 19. The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. The doors of heaven open. The Son of the Eternal Word places itself on the lookout and sends its angel to tell the Virgin that the hour of God has come. So whenever I read the Virgin Mary book, I really feel like it's Our Lady that's like personally talking to me, saying like, now my child, listen to me. And I just love how I just love the way that the Holy Spirit inspired Luisa to write this, because you really do feel the presence of Our Lady when you read it, and you really learn a lot about the life of Our Lady, even in her conception. Now, my child, listen to me. I continued my life in Nazareth. The divine fiat continued to expand its kingdom in me. It used my most tiny acts, even the most indifferent ones, such as keeping the little house in order, starting the fire, sweeping, and all the acts which are usual in families, to let me feel its life palpitating in the fire, in the water, in the food, in the air I breathe, in everything. And investing my little acts, it formed over them seas of light, of grace, of sanctity, because wherever it rains, the divine will has the power of forming, even from little trifles, new heavens of enchanting beauty. Being immense, it does not know how to do little things, but with its power, it gives value to trifles, making of them the greatest things, such as to astonish heaven and earth. Everything is holy, everything is sacred for one who lives in the divine will. And what I just read here, we see that Our Lady did the most ordinary actions, like lighting the fire, sweeping, cooking. So from a human point of view, those seem like very insignificant actions. But in the divine will, those are not insignificant. Those are such great acts of just incalculable value. And when we ask Jesus to do everything in, with, and through us throughout the day, even the most hidden actions that no one will see, that no one will appreciate, that everyone will overlook. Even if we do the most insignificant actions in the divine will, then what happens is that then they get great value in Jesus' eyes. And the more acts and runs we do, then the more closer the kingdom of the divine will come. And I actually remember reading in Maria Valtorta, like Jesus was explaining that originally he wasn't supposed to rise early Sunday at dawn. It was actually like later Sunday at dawn, like more towards the evening. But because of Our Lady's prayers, the time of his resurrection became earlier at dawn instead of at 3 o'clock or like in the evening as it was originally planned. So likewise, that reminded me of how the more we ask Jesus, Jesus, let the kingdom of the divine will come to reign on earth as it is in heaven, the more acts and rounds we do, the more we can hasten the coming of God's kingdom on earth, just as Our Lady hastened the resurrection of her son. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, such an important point you said there, you know, regarding the small things. You know, Jesus explains that to us many times. Even Our Lady explains that, you know, the small things are in abundance. They're all around us every moment. And that's where our opportunity is. Because again, they're like little quizzes. You know, we get good at the quizzes, we're going to be good at the test. And Jesus actually explains it to us. He tells Louisa in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Again, why the small things are so important. He says, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all. Unless, of course, they did not want it. It has to be accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place," end quote. So for that to occur, it has to be in the small things, because the small things are in abundance in every one of those scenarios. So that's something you focus on also. We don't have to wait for the big things, the flash in the pan. We have the small things. Right, Sister Gloria?
Hello. Hello. Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year.
You know, today's the first day of New Year. And, you know, usually on the first day of year, you get lots of blessings and big presents. And today, you know, the big presence of grace is that that God made Our Lady, our Virgin Mary, as the Mother of God. And that's the greatest gift that he gave us, you know. I mean, how can a man become the Mother of God? Even just thinking of that, we become God is such a amazing that thing that you can't even grasp, you know, you cannot really imagine it. It's such a, you know, but then God made her to be the Mother of God. So that's even greater thing. So we cannot help but just praise God for his great love. So today, as the Mother of God, you know, for her feast, I picked the passage from Our Lady book. This is day 31, the last one. It shows her greatness by giving her fiat and by surrendering herself totally to God as she assumes to heaven. "Now, my child, do you want to know who she is, for whom the whole of heaven sings and remains enraptured? It is I. She who never did her own will. The divine will abounded so much with me as to extend more beautiful heaven, more refulgent suns, seas of beauty, of love, of sanctity, with which I could give light to all. Love and sanctity to all, and enclose everything and everyone within my heaven. It was the work of the divine will operating in me to accomplish such a great prodigy. I was the only creature entering heaven to have formed its kingdom in my soul. Now, in looking at me, all the celestial court remain amazed, because as they looked at me, they found me heaven. And looking at me again, they found me sun, and unable to take their gaze away from me. Looking at me more deeply, they saw me sea, finding in me also the most clear earth of my humanity, with the most beautiful flowerings. In rapture, they exclaimed, "How beautiful she is." She has centralized everything within herself. She lacks nothing. Among all the works of her creator, she is the only complete work of the whole creation. Now, blessed child, you must know that this was the first feast made in heaven for the divine will, which had worked so many prodigies in its creature. Therefore, at my entrance into heaven, the whole celestial court celebrated all the beautiful and great things that the divine fiat can work in the creature. Since then, these feasts have never been repeated. And this is why your mama loves so much that the divine will reign in souls in an absolute way, to give it the field in order to let it repeat its great prodigies and its marvelous feast. And as she assumed to heaven, she promised that she will give her fiat to us. And she also said that the power of her fiat is still the same. You know, when Our Lady gave birth to a son, a God man, it is of course that she becomes the mother of God. And this doctrine started by the Bishop Nestorius. Actually, he said that he was insisting that mother, that Our Lady should be called just as the mother of man Jesus, just mother of Christ, that she cannot be, that she can't be called as mother of God. And of course, he got condemned. And now the doctrine, the dogma is that Our Lady is the mother of God. And Christ is God. And we can, yes, Jesus is, he was man, human, but of course we have faith that he was also God, you know, man and God. But we are calling Our Lady as the mother of God, but we don't believe that we can become God, you know. And it's also kind of repeating the scene of Adam and Eve, the scene of mistrusting God, because God can even make, you know, the little host into God himself. And then how can he not make us even worthier than the little host? How can he not make us himself, the imitator of himself? And then when we receive the communion, his divinity enters in us, and then he unites his divinity with our humanity. And that's how we become the Christ. And because Christ is human, man, and God. And same thing goes for us. And if we don't believe this, that we can become God, we can become Christ, then it cannot be true that we call Our Lady as the mother of God. And then I was thinking, how can we honor and remember Our Lady? It's not by putting us down, but then we got to believe that the words, the promises of God, that he wants us to be the heirs of heaven, of his glory. That's what he promised. And also that was the thing that Jesus said as he dies, that he prayed to God as kind of the last prayer, that he wants all of us, his children also become like him, and also get the heirs of heaven that was even created before the world began. Yes, she wants to add something, Mary.
Sure. No, it's also important to note that the 15th is Our Lady's feast, and if we celebrate it as a feast also, we're actually joining Our Lady's celebration on the 15th.
So if we don't believe that we are just human, and that we believe that it is impossible that we become God, you know, and then how can we say that Our Lady, who was also a human like us, even though she didn't have original sin, but then how can we say that Our Lady as a human, that she even became the mother of God, and then we honor her as the mother of God, you know? But Our Lady, she's telling us that to believe it, that she's telling us to believe that as a human, you can also reach that high level, that position. So honoring her means we accept that belief, you know. And God gave us his only son because he doesn't want us to live just as a human, you know. God created us to be like him, to be his children, his sons and daughter. So in order for us to believe that, so God sent his only son to sacrifice himself and die for us. And he also took on himself all the sins of our sins, so that he can witness, you know, before God that we don't have any sins, because he paid all our debts. So we have to believe, we have to have that faith that we are also little gods. And this is why Our Lady is so, so great, because she had that faith, because she believed, she had the faith and she believed in God's promise. What, in his words, she just said, fiat. She just gave up to be a normal, just simple man, a simple human. She carried God in her womb, and she became a woman who gave birth to God. So she became the mother of God. And that's the greatest honor we can give to God, who gave all of himself to us. So, yes, let's pray to God to give us that grace to believe that he wants us to be like him, like God, and that we can also give our fiat like Our Lady, so that he can work his fiat in us, and then also ask Our Lady to give her fiat to us so that she can help us to become like her. Thank you.
And if you need something to help your faith in that, you know, the Church helps us with Article 507 of the Catholic Catechism, which states, quote, at once, Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. I repeat that one more time. Article 507 of the Catholic Catechism, quote, at once, Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church, end quote. That's all we need, sister. Oh, we need you, sister.
You know, I think Nestorius just did not understand Genesis, you know, when the Lord, when God, when Adam and Eve committed sin, then he prophesied another woman that will come whose son will crush the head. He did not understand that Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were without sin. And so if they were without sin, that means they were divine. And they, of course, at that time, it wasn't taught, divine will was not taught the same way that we are taught now. Now we have the divine will. So now we understand that it is possible that we can become divine only through the divine will. I mean, that's the only way. And Jesus Christ, man, 100% man and 100% God, precisely because of that, because of divine will, Jesus lived in the divine will of the Holy Trinity, and he has to be incarnated so that we who lost our divinity through our disobedience to our fathers, that's the only way he can grafted us back to the divinity of the Holy Trinity, is through him to become a human. I also remember a theologian I listened to that Blessed Mother, actually, if she only had to give birth to Jesus without the attachment of sin of all humanity, she would have not failed. She would have not felt pangs. She would have not felt pain. The pain that Blessed Mother suffered from carrying Jesus in her womb, up to even when Jesus came out of her womb, the pain comes from the sin of men that Jesus took himself. He took all of our sins, and these sins is what our Blessed Mother felt. She felt, because our sin comes from our stubbornness, our human will. We don't want to do the divine will. We want to do the human will, and we want to do it our way. We don't want to do it God's way, and that's really what hurts our Blessed Mother. And can you imagine our Blessed Mother? I mean, it's very, very hard my own mother or our own earthly mother, if she tells us to study well or to not do drugs, and what would she feel if we go against what she said? If our blessed mother, I mean, our earthly mother suffers when she cannot see everything, how much more our mother? So that's all I would like to say.
Yeah, speaking of the pains of love too, you know, St. John of the Cross speaks about that. And it's actually in the, I think, the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom also, when a lady says about the pain she felt, but the pains of love, you know, God uses it rhetorically. It's a love, but it's a pain. So it's so important that it's a pain.
Yeah, it's heroic love. It is heroic love.
That's true. I mean,
and she even said that.
He uses that phrase, actually.
Her maternity, yeah, she said, I think it was in the meditation of her book, she said that her maternity is heroic. Otherwise, if she doesn't have the heroism of her maternity, it cannot be fecund. The only way it can be fecund is through the crosses, through the heroic love.
And he also states that he's looking for heroic souls to progress in this gift so that they may find, quote, the pathways to reach this end result. So again, to be a hero, but it's a humble hero. It's not like the hero bragging and want your name in lights. It's the hero of knowing that we cooperate with God. He does all the work and we're really participating. He wants us to participate. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hi, hello. Again, I would like to read the meditation number one from the appendix. And I got just up in the part that struck me. So I went to her not to make a simple visit. He's talking about when the Virgin Mary went to visit St. Elizabeth. I went to her not to make a simple visit, but because I burned with the desire to bring her Jesus. The fullness of grace, love and light, which I felt in me, pushed me to bring, to multiply, to increase a hundredfold the life of my son in creatures. Yes, my child, the love of mother, which I had for all men and for all and for you in particular, was so great that I felt the extreme need to give my dearest Jesus to everyone, that all might possess him and love him. The right of mother given to me by the fiat enriched me with such power as to multiply Jesus as many times as there are creatures who want to receive him. This was the greatest miracle I could perform, to have Jesus ready to give to whomever desire him. How happy I felt. How I wish that you too, my child, in approaching and visiting people, would always be the bearer of Jesus, capable of making him known and yearning to make him loved. And when I read this passage, I was thinking how can we bring Jesus to other, and it could be simple, because I mean, for us none, we can bring Jesus already. The way as we dress is already bringing Jesus to other, and then maybe the people that like lay people, they can bring Jesus with a smile, I don't know, with anything that the Holy Spirit inspired you, but all of us, we should bring Jesus to everyone, to our neighbors, to all the people that we meet on the street and everywhere, our colleagues, our family members. That probably it's sometimes one of the most hardest to bring Jesus, but we really have to try and to call the help of the Virgin Mary, because she did it before us, and she can help us to bring Jesus to other people. And then almost at the end of the same passage, it say that John in particular received all the graces which were necessary for him to prepare himself to be the precursors of my son. Dearest child, the divine will does greater and hundred of things wherever it reigns. If I worked many prodigies, it was because it had this royal place in me. If you let the divine will reign in your soul, you too will become the bearer of Jesus to the creatures. You too will feel the irresistible needs to give him to all. So if we live in the divine will, if we try to live in the divine will, or desire to live in the divine will, we automatically bring Jesus to other, even without not even realizing it. But I'm sure people, like when you see someone who is very close to Jesus, you see a light in that people that transmit the light of Jesus himself. And maybe they don't even realize it. You see from the external. And if we... And we can become the same thing. And also, it struck me that it say that John received all the graces which were necessary for him to prepare himself to the precursors of my son. So Jesus will give us all the graces that we need for everything that we have to do. We don't have to worry, like even to bring Jesus to someone, maybe as a difficult person, we have to believe that Jesus will give us the grace that we need for that moment, for that things that we have to do.
Yeah, Jesus gives us the great example too. He says in the, I think it's meditation number 6, he says, quote, "If you want graces and miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything she asks of me," end quote. So if we're having difficulty sharing it, if we're having difficulty journeying ourselves, go to our mother. She'll give us everything we need.
Yeah, I'll just read it again in volume 36. He says, "My love was such," speaking about his mother, "that I told her, mother, I want you to be the mother of all. And I want you to do for all creatures all that you have done for me, laying your maternity in all of their acts, so that I will see them covered and hidden in your maternal love." My mother accepted and remained confirmed, not only as the mother of all, but also as the one who would invest each of their acts with her maternal love. This was one of the greatest graces I have given to the whole of human generations. But what pains does my mother not receive? Creatures of human generations, creatures even reach the point of not wanting to recognize her maternity, of denying it. Therefore, the whole of heaven prays and anxiously awaits for the divine will to be known and to reign. Then the great queen will do to the children of my will what she did for her, all for her Jesus, and her maternity will have life in her children. So she wants to do the same for us as she did for Jesus. He wants the same thing. This is a great, great grace that he gave us, to give us his mother. Goes on to say, "I will give my own place to her maternal heart, to those who live in my will. She will raise them for me, guiding their steps and hiding them in her maternal and in her maternity and sanctity. Her maternal love and her sanctity will be impressed in all their acts. They will be her true children, being like me in everything. Oh, how I would love everyone to know if they want to live in my will, they have a queen and a powerful mother who will compensate for all they lack. She will raise them on her maternal lap, being with them in everything they do, molding their acts as her own, to the extent that they will be known as the children grown, kept and educated by the loving maternity of my mama. These will be the ones who will make her happy, the ones who will be her glory and honor." So if we want to make Our Lady happy, let's try to live more and more in his divine will. How do we get there? Again, we do acts and rounds and divine will. The more you do everything, ask Jesus to do everything in and through you, the more you're drawing closer and closer to Our Lady. She's becoming more and more your mother every moment, because those who live in the divine will, it says here, will receive this great grace that everything she did will be theirs. Totally our mother, you know. Mm-hmm. So we want that comfort and consolation of a loving, kind mother. So, you know, let's drive this new year to make that effort to live more in his holy divine will, to call him into our activities, try to get in the habit of doing that on a daily basis. Also doing your acts and divine, your rounds and divine will, putting your I love you on everything. Some people need books to do it with. Some people do it with a rosary. You can do it as you pray the rosary on all the mysteries of the rosary. Put I love you and everything that happened through each mystery. You can make them up as you go. As you're driving the car, looking at things, you can put your I love you and everything that you see. As you're walking, you can do the same thing. you know, we will miss a lot of opportunities to round in divine will too. So let's try to get more of a habit this new year of 2023, doing more acts in divine will and more rounds in the divine will.
You said those missed opportunities, those are those voids, those bad voids that we create. And Jesus says those voids must be filled before we can enter heaven. So the more we can avoid creating those voids, I think the better for us. Sorry, Sister Magdalene.
No, it's okay. I was just listening to Mother, and that's true. The easiest way to really do the divine will is do the acts and rounds. But you also mentioned earlier, Peter, we need to be heroic as well. It cannot be just easy as that. There is also another thing that is required. And I'll read you a passage here, what Blessed Mother said. She was talking about detachment. Okay, it is in Meditation 22, the last two paragraphs. She said, she was talking about how, you know, when Jesus was born, and you know how she kissed Jesus and she shared Jesus to Saint Joseph, and they both kissed her and put him on the manger, and they adored him, and you know, and then now the last two paragraphs, she said, "Now my child, a little word to you. You must know that my whole joy was to hold my dear son Jesus on my lap. But the divine will made me understand that I should place him in the manger at everyone's disposal so that whoever wanted could caress him, kiss him, and take him in their arms as if he were their own. He was the little king of all. Therefore, they had the right to make of him a sweet pledge of love. And I, in order to fulfill the supreme volition, deprived myself of my innocent joys, beginning with works and sacrifices, the office of mother, giving him to all." Now we can think of our own things that we can also make sacrifices. And this, I think this is not very easy to do. And I find it myself, you know, to let go of things that I like to do, to give it to others, to share it to others when I am holding them so dearly. I mean, it doesn't have to be material things, even our ideas, our intellect, our will, you know, I mean, that's the hardest thing. And then she continued here, "My child, the divine will is demanding and wants everything, even the sacrifice of the holiest things, and according to circumstances, even the great sacrifice of depriving oneself of Jesus. However, it does so in order to extend its kingdom even more and to multiply the life of Jesus himself. Because when the creature deprives herself of him out of love for him, her heroism and sacrifice is so great that she has the virtue of producing a new life of Jesus in order to form another home for Jesus. Therefore, dear child, be attentive and never deny anything to the divine will under my pretext." I'd like to highlight the attentiveness, because today's reading, when the shepherds came to find Jesus and they told everyone there in the grotto what happened and what was told of them about the child, Blessed Mother did not utter a word. She pondered it in her heart. She was very attentive about these words, these messages that was given to them about the baby, about the child. So in other words, this is not just something that, you know, hunky-dory loving thing. It is simple. It should be. But at the same time, it requires attentiveness. It requires our sincerity. We have to be really sincere in wanting to live in the divine will. We have to be really sincere in wanting to love God. We cannot love God the way he wants us to love him unless we ask him for that. So we have to ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to love you, but I cannot love you on my own. So give me your love. Teach me how to love you." And that desire, he can't deny that. So, you know, being sincere, and then also put it into action, you know, like Mother said, doing acts and rounds, do it. And then do the divine, I mean, go to confession. I mean, all the things that we do, we need to do if we commit sin, you know, let's get serious about these things, because this is really a very beautiful thing, but it needs attentiveness. We have to learn to listen, spend time in adoration, because that's how we can listen to God. Listen with the ears of our heart. Look at things with the eyes of the heart. That's when we can discern. You know, it's good that we have, you know, I mean, in fact, this new year, I would suggest for all of you out there, if you can find a good spiritual companion that you trust or spiritual director that will help you see what you couldn't see on your own, because we're not perfect. You know, sometimes when we talk to our trusted friends, they're able to see other things that we would have missed. And that is being serious. You know, when I was in the world and I had a spiritual director, oh my goodness, you know, he helped me a lot, because on my own, I could only see what I could see, but he was able to see other things that I would have not been able to see unless he told it to me. And it was a very honest, heart-to-heart relationship with my spiritual director, and really it's very helpful. So I think if you can, only if you can, you know, that would be a good New Year resolution too.
Yeah. Now, sister, you said that you were reading from The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, day 22, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really important too, I think, because remember when Jesus tells, and he tells us this often, about giving up even holy things to embrace this gift first and then go back to that. I mean, he tells us in volume 17, September 18th, 1924, he says, don't be surprised if you see that they don't understand, because to understand, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life even their holy things, even in holy things. He mentions that. And then Our Lady, like a good mother, she goes a little bit further. She says, yes, my child, the divine will is intransigent. It doesn't move and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, same as our Lord. But then she goes on to caveat, says, but always according to the circumstances, which means we always have to discern the situation. So, for example, if we're, again, silly example, but let's say we're one of three people that run a soup kitchen to a really needy group of people. And let's say one day, two of the three call out sick, they cannot make it. And it's our day to maybe take an hour of the passion in the hours of the passion clock. Well, if we don't go to the soup kitchen, well, no one's going to be there, and maybe 100 or 200 people will be not fed, and they're going to be suffering from that. So again, according to the circumstances, perhaps we may have to miss something in the divine will to do something of the world, again, that maternal hand, and then go back to it. So again, she clarifies it. It's, yes, giving up even holy things, but always according to the circumstances. It's beautiful. She really lays out a full explanation. She takes a lot of pressure off.
Always ask our Lord, what do you want me to do at this moment? You know, and if you sincerely feel he wants to do one thing rather than another, he sees your heart. So you have to be honest with yourself, though. What does God want me to do at this moment? And, you know, if you're really living your life for him, if you're living your Catholic faith well, you know that what's in your heart is what he puts in your heart. The scripture says, take delight in the Lord, and he gives you the desires of your heart. But he puts the desires in your heart according to his will if you're delighting in him. So if you're delighting in him, you can be sure that whatever you feel in your heart is what he wills for you at that moment. Maybe something very small, you know, but should we ask him? What do you want? You know, and we'll make fewer mistakes. You might have two different cards you can buy. Which car do you want me to buy, Jesus? What do you really feel in your heart? And just pray about it and see. Yeah. whatever he inspires in your heart is what he's willing for you. And so you, if you really feel that way, then you're doing the right thing, because you're feeling that is his will for you.
And never to get dejected. I mean, we heard Jesus say, if you want miracles, if you want graces, go to my mother. And a lot of times we want instant gratification. We want it right away. But Our Lady actually explains that to us in, I think it's meditation number 5 in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom. She says, I will keep the grace and graces at your disposal. And I'm revealing this to you so that at the appropriate time, you may have the strength to offer up the sacrifice of everything for my divine will. So again, grace anticipates the soul. And we know that we should have confidence that whatever situation will be in front of us, God has already given us the grace to overcome that obstacle. Grace anticipates the soul. Hello, sister.
Hi. As I was listening to Mother's her talk, it just reminded me of the Passion when Jesus was on the cross and he gave Our Lady to us. This is from 21st hour from the Passion book. So he's on the cross. This is the third word that he said on the cross. In the meantime, seeing that you have nothing else to give him, because you have given him everything, you turn your languid gaze to your mama. She too is more than dying because of your pains, and the love that tortures her is so great as to render her crucified like you. Mother and son, you understand each other, and you sigh with satisfaction and feel comforted in seeing that you can give your mama to the creature. and considering the whole mankind in John, with a voice so sweet as to move all hearts, you say, "Woman, behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." Your voice descends into her maternal heart, and united to the voices of your blood, it keeps saying, "My mother, I entrust all of my children to you. Feel for them all the love that you feel for me." May all your maternal cares and tendernesses be for my children. You will save them all for me. Your mama accepts. In the meantime, the pains are so intense that again they reduce you to silence. So this is really the scene when Jesus officially, he's saying that Our Lady is our, that he gives his mother to us. And you usually keep the best thing at the last, you know, and then that treasure you give to someone, really. And this is what Jesus said. He gave everything he could, you know, everything. His scourge, his blood and sweat, everything. But then there is nothing else to give anymore. So then the last thing he had was his mother. And the most treasure, you know, that he had. And then he gave his mother to us. And then, you know, because he saw all the humanity in John, so he gave this mother and, you know, mother and son, mother and daughter relationship to us. And this is really the greatest gift that Jesus gave to us, giving his mother to us. And also, when you read the Virgin Mary book, Our Lady, actually, she reveals that she conceived all of us in her womb, actually, even before she was born to the world. So she already had this maternity over us before even she was, you know, she came to the world. And that's really the amazing prodigy that she revealed to us through this Virgin Mary book. And she's really the model. And Jesus said, you know, as he was dying, Jesus gave her a mission that she needs to bring all our children to heaven, you know. And Our Lady accepted. She said, "Yes, I will." So she is really the intercessor and helper who can bring us to heaven. So, and then like today's gospel, she kept everything in her heart and pondered. That means she was thanking God for everything. She didn't, you know, have everything. She didn't claim anything as her own. She did, she attributed everything to God. So we really have to be thankful for, especially as we start the new year, we gotta be, you know, make habits to be thankful for everything that God provides in our daily life. And also Our Lady, through Elizabeth, she's from Hungary. She also gave us another gift, which is the flame of love. She said, "Now I cannot hold it in my heart anymore." She said, "I'm gonna give you the flame of love, which is coming from my Immaculate Heart." And she said, "It will blind the Satan, and it also will burn ourselves and our sins, and it will spread to one another." And that, so we really thank God for giving Our Lady as mother. And then let us pray to Our Lady to help us to be more like Christ, because she's our mother. She knows how to raise her children, and she raised Jesus, who was God man. So let us ask her to also raise us like him. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. You know, God kept us busy before our physical birth. You know, we were all conceived at the time Jesus was conceived. We know that. We know from the City of God, Mary Agreda, again, another approved apparition of our locution of our church, which states, I think it's in book number 4, that at the Last Supper, we were all present. All those souls to be born were present at the Last Supper. So again, we were very busy before we were born. And last but not least, Saint Escriva reminds us, quote, "Before, by yourself, you couldn't. Now you've turned to Our Lady, and with her, how easy you could." End quote.
Yeah, you know, in the flame of love, it's really everything comes through Our Lady and everything goes back through Our Lady. And God has made her the Beatrix of all graces. So the flame of love really is the love of the Trinity coming to the world through Our Lady to all of us. And that is really the love of the divine will. So the flame of love is the love of the divine will of the Trinity coming to us through Our Lady. I think now we can and I want to remind everybody too that when you pray that flame of love, every three Hail Marys, a flame of love Hail Marys, when you pray the rosary, takes one soul out of purgatory. During the month of November, every Hail Mary takes 10 souls out of purgatory. So, you know, take advantage of that and get many souls out of purgatory by doing the flame of love rosary whenever you can. Okay, now we can turn it over to the San Marino sisters.
Hello, San Marino.
Hello, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Who's going to be first today?
I have no idea.
Think sister today, second. Good.
God help me.
All of us, you're right.
And I was thinking the last things that Sister Gloria was telling about Our Lady and the flame of love and how much the devil will be blinded, yeah, with all this light. And what made me think about one thing that I read some days ago about Saint Joseph, and there is a big difference between Saint Joseph and the apostles about their missions, because the apostles had a mission to continue their spread the revelation, try to make Jesus known by other people that don't know him. But Saint Joseph at the beginning had the opposite mission, to heal Jesus, to heal, to protect the virginity. And there is a problem? Oh, no. To heal Jesus, to heal the virginity, to protect them. And because the world was not ready to understand the mystery of the incarnation. And the mystery of the incarnation is not only Jesus came on earth between us, but the mystery of the incarnation is only God living in us. So it made me think this, because in some rites you can read that the devil, after the words of God that he told him, I don't use the correct words in English, God told the devil in the Bible, we can read in Genesis, another woman will give birth to the Emmanuel, so you will lost. So after that word, the devil was going around in the world to looking for this virgin, and the mission of the silence of Our Lady and the mission of Saint Joseph was to protect her from the devil, because he has not to know this truth, and also the world was not ready. Now we are entering the time that we are ready. Yeah, we are going to be ready, because we have all the revelation, but also we have the readings of divine will, and we are called from God to accept this gift and to prepare ourselves to receive this light. So now we speak about Our Lady Mother of God, and she is also Our Lady Mother of the Church. So she's our mother. And so in one way, she has the mission. Now we receive with all the graces through her, and especially with all these apparition that we can know about Our Lady, apparitions of Our Lady. And she's doing this. She's preparing each one of us to receive this big light in our soul, to be ready for a specific time, the church that we don't know when will start, but we have to be ready with receiving in this light. Not focus about the purification of the church, but focusing about this big truth, receive the light and give space to to this light in our soul. And the beginning, my meditation was about the volume 34, December 28, 1936. And I was reading in these passages that Luisa has some doubts about how much big is the mission of Our Lady. So before reading these passages, I was telling, what is this big chain? Because she said, I was concerned about what is written above and was saying to myself, is it possible? All this excessive chain of love that seems to never end. So before going to these passages, I start to go back for understand what is this chain of love. So I went to the same volume, but December 20, 1936. And Jesus told to Luisa, you must know that in the act of conceiving this Holy Virgin, our divine will, which possesses everything and embraces all with its immensity, and possesses the all seeingness of all people and imaginable beings, as well as its executive virtue, that whenever it operates, it does universal works. As soon as it conceived her with its created virtue, it called all creatures to be conceived in the heart of its dear Virgin. But this was not enough for our love. Giving hand to the most incredible excesses, it made its Virgin to be conceived in each creature, so that each one might have a mother all for himself, and they might feel her maternity, her love, in the depth of their souls. This is the light that we receive. This is the presence of Our Lady, the presence of the Holy Trinity in our soul. And she said, be locating herself, she is conceived in each creature, place herself as the disposal to raise them, guide them, free them from dangers, and with her maternal power, feed them with the milk of her love and the food with which she herself is nourished, that is the divine fiat. This is the truth that we receive from these writings. We receive the same nourishment that she received. And this nourishment was not at that point revealed. And now is revealed through these writings. So every time that we read about the divine will, we receive a life. We know in the divine will that Jesus said, it's not only an information that I'm giving you, it's a life that came from myself in the center of the divinity and come through the knowledge, through the Holy Spirit, enter into your life and change your life. So every time that we read, we receive Jesus and Mary. And I think really Jesus, in one sense, also Saint Joseph, because it was his mission to protect the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery that Our Lady and Jesus had in themselves. And after he continued, you must know that from the very first instant of the life of this celestial creature, our love was so great that we endowed her with all our divine qualities. Indeed, to all creatures, we give our endowment. So not only Our Lady has this heredity, also us. None of them is born if she is not endowed by her creator. But because they move away from our will, it can be said that they don't even know it. On the other hand, this Holy Virgin never moved away. She lived perennial life within the interminable seas of our field. Therefore, she grew together with our attributes. We gave her continuous lessons on who her creator was, and she grew in our knowledges that no angels or saint could reach her. She entered into our divine secrets. So the importance of her life is the relation, all is about the relation that she has with God. And reading this part, we can understand that we have the same calling at the point where we were conceived. We are in the same state of grace. The only difference, she never moved. So every instant of her life was in the divine will, but we are in one sense in the same place, but in intermittence.
Intermittent.
It's not too difficult for me, this word. So we have hope. It's not something that, oh, I can do this. We have hope because we have in the same place, but not in the, if we read some, the life of saints, and we put attention reading with the light of the divine will, we can read that some saints have an experience of the divine will in one day, in 3 months. An experience is a taste of divine will, but living in a divine will is always, and they didn't have these readings we have. So we are called to do this. And another things that called my attention was also that she's mother, but we are calling to be other mothers, because she said, Jesus said, therefore it was not enough for our law that the world would incarnate himself in order to generate one single Jesus for all and give one single mother to all the human generation. No, no, our law would not have been excessive. Its race was so fast and to find no one to stop it. And only when with this power it's generated this mother in each soul and let her generate her Jesus so that each one would have mother and son has the disposal, then did it somehow calm down. So Jesus and Mary are living in one sense their actual passion, because they have a big desire, strong desire to make us know all this truth, that we are called to be other mothers, so we can generate Jesus with our ups and downs, how much are necessary. And the last part, it is, I come back to the first passages that I was reading. And I said, in my mind, I was thinking, Luisa had this experience, because at one point she said that she feels the presence of Our Lady in the deeps of her soul. And she feels, she understood how much big is the love of Our Lady for each one of us, for her in particular case. And she said, is it possible? So she had the experience. So she had this doubt. How can I can have the same doubt? But Jesus told her, my daughter, I want you, Luisa, to write what I told you. In what I told you, there are seas of love by which the creature shall be invested. And I do not want to be suffocated. Therefore, if you don't write, I shall withdraw. Have you forgotten that I must win man by dint of love, but a love such that he shall find it hard to resist us. So this is the way that Jesus can touch our souls, with the writings of Luisa. And at the end he say, but how this is possible that we can receive all the gift of the divine goods that Our Lady has. She has this mission to transmit to us all this gift. And she say, how it possible? And Jesus say, if evils, passions, weaknesses can be inherited, why should it not be possible to inherit the goods? She wants to give her maternity to each creature. So we have to be ready to not only to thank Jesus because we have a mother, but because she wants to make us other mothers for Jesus. And she will take care. Every time we have a problem, every time we have every kind of experience that we have in our life, she's always with us. Not only because she loves us, but because she's loving Jesus in us in a perfect way.
Brava. And sister, never, never, never think your English is not good. We're always so impressed. ESL, your English second language is if it's your first language. So bravo to you.
Because I say, Jesus, if I think I cannot do, I will stop after 2 minutes. So come in, let us be able to speak. So I try to win this. This is the little secret.
Yeah. Remember two secrets, you know, the secrets when Jesus and Mary talk about them, this is not something nefarious. Like we talk about secrets. A lady explains in meditation number one, she says, quote, For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding. End quote. So again, we go back to meditation five. All will be dispersed at the appropriate time. So these secrets will be given to us when we prove to our Lord and to our Lady that we're capable of understanding. And the more we read, the more we learn, the more we meditate on this, the more we're going to be prepared. Thank you so much, Sister. Who's next? What? Sister Benedicta? Sister Scholastica?
Well, just thinking about everything that everyone was saying, and especially Sister Magdalena, when she was talking about, we do the acts and rounds, but yes, also we have to participate, it's a daily living, a life, it was breathing, it's every heartbeat, every, all of this. So it's those circumstances that you were talking about earlier too, Peter, because those are the opportunities. Those are the opportunities to really to give our fiat in those moments when it's difficult, and to be thankful in those moments. And that really helps. That helps because if you look at Our Lady's life, you look at Jesus's life, what was, redemption? He suffered, he was redeeming us. Our Lady, she was co-redemptrix. She was doing everything that Jesus did. She suffered and felt everything that he suffered. And then she even suffered twice because he said that if she had to earn the title of Our Lady of Sorrows, because she didn't have original sin, she knew what she was going to suffer beforehand. And that's in volume 18. This is, let me get the date real quick because I know someone's going to ask. Okay, April 28, 1926. Jesus said that the maximum sacrifice of my mama was not only one, but they were so great and so many. For as many as were sorrows, the pains, the circumstances, and the encounters to which her existence and mine were exposed. Pains were always doubled in her because my pains were hers more than her own pains. Besides, my wisdom did not change direction with my mama. In each pain she was to receive, I always asked her whether she wanted to accept it, in order to hear that fiat being repeated to me in each pain, in each circumstance, and even in each heartbeat of hers. That fiat resounded so sweet in every instant of her life. This is why I would always ask her, Mama, do you want to do this? Do you want to suffer this pain? And my fiat would bring her the seas of the goods it contains and would make her understand the intensity of the pain she was accepting. This understanding through divine light of that which, step by step, she was to suffer, gave her such martyrdom as to infinitely surpass the struggle which creatures suffer. In fact, since the seed of sin was missing in her, the seed of the struggle was missing. And so my will had to find another device that she might not be inferior to the other creatures in suffering. Because having to acquire by justice the right of Queen of Sorrows, she was to surpass in suffering all creatures altogether. So, if you think about it, what courage Our Lady had. She knew exactly what she was going to suffer and the intensity was it. And she still gave her fiat. It's if you think about it, as much as she did suffer, and then that she suffered Jesus's suffering as well, being in the divine will and knowing all of this, being so united and connected with him, we do have a mother that understands suffering, that understands, the things that we go through in this life. And there was another meditation that I was looking at in volume 17 when we were talking about just the knowledge of divine will, and not just that, but also how Jesus is explaining how everyone has their mission, like Sister Teresa was talking about, like Saint Joseph had their mission, the apostles had the mission, of spreading the gospel and baptizing, and then Luisa's mission, which is the divine will, bringing out the divine will, letting it known. But he talks about Our Lady Our Lady's mission in here too. It's really beautiful. He talked about himself, his mission in redemption, and then hers, and then Luisa's. But I'll read just Our Lady's. It says May 1st, 1925, and this is volume 17. He says, okay, there is my celestial mama who received the unique mission as the mother of God, of mother of God's son, and the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. For her mission of divine maternity, She was enriched with so much grace that all other creatures combined, both celestial and terrestrial, could never be able to equal her. But this was not enough to draw the word into her maternal womb. It was necessary that the mother put in action all this abyss of grace, of graces and gifts, by embracing all creatures, loving them, repairing and adoring the supreme majesty for all. This right here, you know, this is what she was doing. She was putting all of this by embracing all creatures, loving them, repairing, and adoring the supreme majesty for all. And this is also what Luisa is doing. So this is also what we need to do. You know, when we're doing acts and rounds, it's not just for the sake of saying of doing that, but it's also because we are doing it for the sake of others, for reparation, for Jesus, but on behalf of others, you know. So when I look at these things, and I'm like, okay, what was Jesus doing? What was Our Lady doing? What's Luisa doing? And why are they doing it? That's got to be in here too. You know, it's not like a formula. Okay, I love you in this, I love you in that. No, there has to be a change of heart. That's why you got to read. You know, there's going to be an understanding, and then there's a change of heart, and then you see your prayer changing. But it's got to be. You do have to have a prayer life. You have to have a relationship with Jesus, with Our Lady, you know. Talk to them frequently throughout the day, realize that they are there. It's not, you know, just something that you do when you pick up your, rosary, or when you go into the chapel. It's all the time, you know, every single time, wherever you are, they're there, you know? So then he goes on and says, okay, loving them. Okay, she was repairing and adoring the supreme majesty for all in such a way as to accomplish herself all that the human generations owe to God. Therefore, in her virginal heart, she had an inexhaustible vein for God and for all creatures. When the divinity found in this virgin compensation for the love of all, it felt enraptured and formed in her its conception. It is the incarnation of the Word. And as she conceived me, she took on the office of co-redemptrix and shared and embraced together with me all the pains, the substitutions, the reparation, the maternal love for all. In the heart of my mother, there was a fiber of maternal love for each creature. This is why, in truth, with justice, when I was on the cross, I declared her mother of all. She ran together with me in love, in the sufferings, in everything. She never left me alone. If the Eternal One had not placed so much grace in her as to be able to receive alone the love of all, he would never have moved from heaven to come down upon earth and redeem mankind. Here is the necessity, the convenience that she had to embrace and surpass everything as befitting the mission of the Mother of the Word. And then this reminds me of something we read this morning in the office. It was St. Ignatius, no, Athanasius. Yeah, Athanasius. He said that the angel Gabriel, he used very carefully his words. He said he's very prudent language. And when he announced the birth, this is what it says. He goes, he did not speak of what will be born in you to avoid the impression that a body would be introduced into her womb from outside. He spoke of what would be born from you, so that we might know by faith that her child originated within her and from her. So, you know, Our Lady is truly our mother. And just, it's something that we say all the time, but I think we can't stop talking about how important she is in the divine will, in our sanctity, you know, because if we want to follow Jesus, Jesus came through Mary. So we need to go through Mary.
Right. Mary's in our DNA also. Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. You mentioned really quickly about the mission. about mission. We may be given multiple missions, but what Jesus tells us point blank in volume 14, August 23rd, 1922, he says, quote, "I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it," end quote. So again, but you can be given multiple missions like you sisters have, your consecrated sisters, and you have the mission, the greatest of all missions. Speaking of the greatest, where we get the Sister Scholastica.
Okay, hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. So I was just thinking, well, you know, here we are starting a new year. So I went back to the beginning with the calendar book. So I was reading today from January 1st. And amazingly, the last passage that they give for January 1st, which is from volume 34, it's all about Our Lady. The blurb, if you will, the description is the feast of the Queen of Heaven prepared for her son Jesus at his birth, how love attracts, transforms, and embellishes. Now, it's a long passage, so I'm not sure if I can dive into it, because there was something that I realized today about today's solemnity, Mary, Mother of God. So, like I said, we start a brand new year in terms of the world, according to the Julian calendar, the calendar that the world follows. We started a brand new year. And then I was thinking that today, on the first day of the secular calendar, if you will, the world calendar, the church designated today to be the feast of Our Lady, the Mother of God. And I thought that was very interesting because the beginning of the new year is, that's what it is, beginning. Well, if we think about it, Mother of God is basically the simplest, but the most common title anyone uses to describe Our Lady, especially with non-believers. Well, think about it. Someone says to you, who is Mary? What is the answer we always, always say? Mary is the Mother of God. So I thought that was very interesting that today the church designated this day for that title of Our Lady, Mary, Mother of God. And also what's beautiful is that, like we all know, in the church, whenever we have a solemnity, we don't start on the day. We start the day before at Vespers. So like in the late afternoon, all throughout the night, that's considered the next day. So think about this. Today's feast, Mary, Mother of God, is January 1st, the first day of the year. But in reality, we start the last day of the previous year. So if you think about it, you know what, like Jesus is right there always with Our Lady, but especially in his title, you know, Mary, Mother of God. So Mary is the main focus, but obviously she's not God. So we have God in there to help also with non-believers understand that Mary is very important, but she's not God, but she is always with God. So think about it. We end one year, we close out with Our Lady, but we're starting with Our Lady at the same time. So I thought that was really cool, like how we're closing and we're beginning, and that's continuous. For how many years has that been happening? So I thought that was beautiful, showing the cycle, if you will, like with life, you know, how God is continuously present and Our Lady's continuously present throughout the world, whether people are aware of it or not. So I don't know, that's what it occurred to me today about today's feast. But what I loved here in this passage, like I said, it's better for you just to read the whole thing. It's kind of long. But at the end, I liked this part. Jesus says to Luisa, "My daughter, what can love animated by an omnipotent fiat not do? It acts as magnet and draws us in an irresistible way. It removes every dissimilarity with its heat. It transforms and confirms she whom he loves, then embellishes in an incredible way that the heavens and earth feel themselves enraptured to loving her. Not to love a creature who loves us is impossible for us. All our divine power and strength are rendered impotent and weak before the conquering strength of one who loves us. Therefore, you also give me the feast that my mother gave me in being born. Envelop the heavens and earth with your I love you, O Jesus. Do not let anything escape in which your love does not run. Make me smile because I was not born one single time, but I'm always reborn. And many times my births are without smile and without feast. And only my tears, sobs, whimpers, and a cold that makes me tremble and numbs all my members remains for me. Therefore, clasp me to your heart in order to warm me with your love, and with the light of my will, you will form the clothes in order to dress me. In this way, you also will make the feast for me, and I will make it for you by giving you new love and new knowledge about my will.
Doesn't get any better than this.
No.
It does not get any better than this. My goodness. Unbelievable. Well, again, we unfortunately have come to the end. Goes so quickly. I want to end in a quote before throwing it back to or giving it back to Mother Gabriel for final prayer. But it's a quote from St. Maximilian Kolbe, who many have said is the greatest of all Marianologists. St. Maximilian Kolbe told us, quote, "Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did," end quote. So always remember that. Always give honor and glory to Our Lady, due to Our Lady, which is giving double honor and glory to our Lord. With that, Mother, I'd like to go back to the Mother House. I'm going to include you here. Okay, and I can't find the poem.
One little thing I was going to finish with here is, again, action around the divine will, that, you know, yes, we have opportunities that arise every day to practice virtue, but if we're doing action rounds in divine will, we're more prone to make the right decision at the right time, because doing action rounds on divine will is making you focus on God throughout the day. If you're focusing on God and not yourself, when the opportunity arises for you to practice virtue, you probably make the right decision. I was just reading here, "Now my mama wanted to make me smile at my birth and to prepare a feast for her baby son. She knew that I cannot smile if I'm not loved, nor take part in any feast if love does not flow there. Therefore, loving me as true mother and possessing seas of love in virtue of my fiat and being queen of all creation, she envelops the sky." So you see, she was doing rounds in divine will, Our Lady. She envelops the sky with her love, and she seals every star with an "I love you, O sun, for me and for all." She envelops the sun in her sea of love and imprints on every drop of light her "I love you, O sun." And she calls the sun to invest her creator with its light, and warming him, he would feel in every drop of light the "I love you" of his mama. She invests the wind with her love, and in every breeze she steals the "I love you, O my son." And then she calls it so that with its puffs she caresses him, and he would hear in every puff of wind, "I love you, I love you, my son. Now therefore, you also give me the feast that my mother gave me by being born. Envelop the heavens and earth with your 'I love you, O Jesus.' Do not let anything escape in which your love does not run. Make me smile because I was not born one single time, but I'm always reborn. And many times my births are without smile and without feast, and only my tears, sobs, and whimpers, and a cold that makes me tremble and numbs all my members remains for me. Therefore, clasp me in your heart in order to warm me with your love. And with the light of my will, you will form the clothes in order to dress me. In this way, you also will make the feast for me, and I will make it for you by giving you new love and new knowledge about my will." So as Our Lady, we forget that Our Lady, we know that she did rounds, acts and rounds in divine will. But here it's written and goes on. I didn't read a lot of it, but all the different acts, all the different rounds that she prepared for Jesus, so that when he would come, he would be born, he would have all these "I love yous" that Our Lady put on everything that she saw, everything around her. So, and now he wants us to do the same thing. So as we do that more and more, I think the opportunities is when they arise for us to make the right decision, to do the right things, we'll be more prone to practice that virtue that he's calling us to practice when we're focused on him rather than ourselves.
Amen. Okay. Action rounds filed under Mother.
Yeah.
But again, Mother, we heard that word again, run. So we pray that we may run also toward this divine will.
Run all year in the divine will. Yes.
That's great. Oh, Mother, thank you so much. Sisters, thank you. So thank God for everything above all. I'd like to now open it up. I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to say goodbye to Mother. I'm going to do that as we speak, and I'm going to put it on. We can see everyone. Let's see. I'm up at this. Unmute themselves. Okay. All right. Anyone would like to unmute themselves? You may.
Sister Anne, right there. That's Anne.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all.
Bye, sisters.
Thank
Bye,
you, sister.
Mother.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Thank you, sisters. Happy New
God
Year.
Bless.
Happy
God New bless.
God bless you. Bye, bye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you, sisters. Thank you.
Thank
God bless you,
sisters.
We love you.
That's a flame of love.
Pray that your cough goes away and that you're feeling better.
Thank you.